And Lord, we just want to bring Jim before you. We ask you to give him mercy, give him grace, give him speech that comes from your mouth to his mouth, Lord. Let it be seasoned with grace and let him be under the unction of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
And we
Amen.
agree together with Connie that her request will be answered. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And Lord, we believe that you hear every cry. So we agree with Connie's prayer for Sue, that she will have her need to be met. And Lord, we commit Howard's need into your hands, that you will bring the right buyer. We only
Yes.
need one buyer. So let the buyer come and let it be the one that you have sent. And give Howard and his family peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, praise God, brethren. I have a praise report on Friday. I drive school bus afternoons only. I just do the afternoon route. And I was out on the route, and it came over the FM radios that we have, communication radios, that there was a tornado warning, not a watch, but a warning that there were tornadoes in the area. And we were not far from the path. I found out later that we were not far from the path of the tornadoes. And so we were told to go to the nearest school, which was our next stop anyway, to pick up our elementary kids and deliver them. And we sheltered in place for about 55 minutes there at the school and then continued on with our route. And so the reports came in that absolutely no one was hurt. No lives were lost. All of our students and all of our people were safe. So the path of the tornado went through a little town just north of where my one of my sons lives, Stephen, and it hit that town pretty hard. And in fact, we got a report that they closed the town. They said, look, we've got trees down, we've got power lines down. Don't come here. If you live here, that's fine, but don't come here to this town. It's called Lena, Illinois. So I texted my son, Stephen, and he said, everyone is safe. We had some property damage of some of his people, but everyone was safe. No loss of life and no injury. So glory to God.
Amen.
Praise God. We are coming to you today from Champaign, Illinois. We came down here yesterday and had lunch with my oldest son, Todd. And then we got a hotel room. And we went last night to a meeting where some of the brethren, some of the local brethren here sponsored it, put it on. They brought in a man by the name of Terry Harmon, Harman, Terry Harmon. He's called the Tabernacle Man, and you can look him up on YouTube. Not now, please. But he came and he was dressed like a priest, and he had the table of showbread there. He had the altar of incense, and these are life size, not the ones from the tabernacle, but the ones that Solomon had that were they were bigger. I mean, especially the golden lampstand was much bigger. And so he was there, and he was talking about the table of showbread, and it was a very, very interesting talk. So we're still here in Champaign. And I told Mark we're going to sign off right after I deliver the word. We have another meeting that we're going to go to. So we thank God for this time. I was very encouraged, strengthened. Joanne and I both were strengthened by the word last Sunday that Martin brought. It had life, it had energy. Brethren, that's what we pray for in our meetings. We want that life and that energy. And it was a very timely word. Nothing new, brethren. It's what we've heard for years. It's time to prepare for war. But the times are getting urgent. And it's not because we get it on our news. It's because we get the news from the book. This is where our news comes from. And little by little, God is unfolding what he's doing. And he will tell us, he will speak to us. And so, with that, I pray that God speaks to us through the word today. I'd like you to please turn to Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23. We may repeat some scriptures that we shared one time before, but again, we're rehearsing the word. This is Daniel 8 and verse 23. Well, we'll start with 22. Now, that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And verse 24. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully. In other words, with miracles and with great power, evil power, and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Verse 25, and through his policy also he shall cause craft, that's deceit, to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace shall destroy many, and he shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Now, what we're talking about, first of all, he sets a time. He says, in the latter time, of which we know absolutely, positively, that we are in. And he says, during this time, the transgressors will come to the full. Now, it is a great abomination that took place in Sodom and Gomorrah and has taken place many times over. And so homosexuality, sodomy, has been a great transgression. Now remember, the word says, when the transgressors are come to the full, just like there is a fullness of Christ coming forth in a body, in a people. There is a fullness of transgression and abominations coming forth in the world. In the, I don't know what you'd call it, the congregation of Satan, his people. But homosexuality is a great abomination before God. But now, when we talk about coming to fullness of transgression, We have homosexual marriages. We have homosexuals, lesbian couples, homosexual couples adopting children. I personally know in my workplace of a man married to a man with four boys. It's an abomination. And this is what we're talking about. This is the man of sin coming forth. So Christ stands up in his church as the head of the body, and we are coming up into fullness in him. Now, in the converse, we have this man of sin coming forth with great wicked abominations, the depths of wickedness, and people coming forth in his likeness. I mean, oh my God. God help us. But this is the time that we are in. So this is, and he will be using, by the way, when he says understanding and dark sentences, we're talking about this Antichrist. Now, let's stop for a minute and declare that. Clarify this. John said there are many antichrists, but in the end of time, there will be one man who will manifest as the antichrist. Are we all agreed? Amen. That there is one man, and we won't turn there in 2 Thessalonians, but we see that this man will sit in the place of God, showing himself that he is God. He wants worship, and it will be the Antichrist. So let me we have to cover some ground here, so let us move on. I would like you to go now to Revelation chapter 16. We're kind of building a little foundation here. I think you'll be blessed. I believe you will be blessed when we get to where we're going. Revelation chapter 16. And go down to verse 13. Yes. Okay. Start with verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the number one, the dragon. Number two, the beast. And number three, the false prophet. Somebody needs to be muted. And so the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, not the kind of miracles that Madeline was talking about. These are abominable miracles, false miracles. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Now, we're still talking about the abomination of desolation coming to fullness. The man of sin standing up in the holy place church where he ought not to be. And now we see him performing miracles. Now, let's identify who is the dragon, the beast, the false prophet. Now, we're talking about someone standing up in brutality, in cruelty, having an understanding. You know, The word understanding, in our day, we could substitute AI, the intelligence, a superior intelligence, spiritual intelligence from below, from evil. And we're not going to get into AI. I believe we discussed that another time, once before. But it is superior intelligence working by sorcery, witchcraft. And this is how he governs. Because remember, the Antichrist wants to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He wants to be the ruler over everything. When Satan took Jesus into the wilderness, when Jesus was in the wilderness tempted of Satan, let's put it that way. He said, "Do you see all these kingdoms? They're mine. They are. They are. They were, and they are. All of the kingdoms, all of the nations of the earth are controlled by the God of this world who controls the governments. We may think that we have such a nice government. We don't. They are controlled by the God of this world." And so the unholy, let's call it the unholy trinity, the dragon, the beast, the false prophet. The dragon is the antichrist. The dragon speaks for Satan. The dragon is identified as the Antichrist. Now, the beast is the beast, let's call it the beast system, because the beast is really a conglomerate, and we're going to get into the seven heads and the 10 horns, which is the manifestation of the beast system. Okay? So then we identify the false prophet. Okay? In order to, let's just for a minute to identify the false prophet, skip over to the next chapter in Revelation 17. And I think we have to start at the beginning here, verse 1. "And there came," they're in chapter 17 of Revelation, "and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, 'Come up hither, and I will show thee the judgment of what? The great whore.'" Let's read on. "The judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, nations, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of what? Her fornication." And we're not talking about natural fornication. We're talking about an idolatry here. That this great whore of Revelation is using witchcraft and sorcery to control the people and through idolatry. Okay. So, verse 3. "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, nay, full of the names of blasphemy, having the seven heads and 10 horns." So here is, where is the woman sitting? On the beast. The beast is the beast system, which has seven heads and 10. Brethren, we have been taught this for years. The the kingdom of the beast, the kingdom of the Antichrist, is going to come out of Europe. And it's going to be the two horns, okay, looks like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. Did I get that right? Let me turn back real quick, if I quoted right. Leave it in 13. No. Maybe somebody could help me there. I saw.
Jim, it's
Yeah, okay. I got it. 13. Chapter 13 and verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. What we're seeing is the great whore riding on the beast. Now, let's bring that down to the reality of who are we talking about? What are we talking about here? The beast system is the seven heads and 10 horns that are coming out of Europe. Now, why Europe? Because Europe was the center of the, I hate to say it, but it's what they call themselves, Holy Roman Empire. It's an unholy. But we'll let them have that. Holy Roman. So what was the Roman Empire? The Roman Empire was the two horns. Whore, the woman, the false church, the false prophet, working with the beast. We're talking about the Catholic Church. Let's be specific here. The Catholic Church is the seat of evil. And the Pope has worked with the Roman empires for centuries. Now, I need to go here, so let's just go there right now. I'm going to read, I did a little research. Now, first of all, let's go way back. Now we're having history here. Way back to Constantine. There is a false belief that Constantine was a Christian. Constantine was an abomination. He was an idolater. He even participated in human sacrifice. Constantine was an antichrist type, but Constantine ruled what would become later the Roman Empire. So, when, again, we're going to go back in a little bit in history. Under Hitler, Hitler called his regime the Third Reich. One, two, three. Third Reich. A Reich is another name for a dominion, an empire, and Hitler was the head or the ruler of the Third Reich. Well, who was the First Reich? Who was the Second Reich? So let's go back in history a little bit and see. Okay, the First Reich was Charlemagne. Charlemagne ruled from 800 to about 1806, somewhere in there. Who was Charlemagne? Charlemagne sat as a ruler, and again, two horns. It was the, instead of calling it just for today, let's call it the EU, the European Empire, instead of the Holy Roman Empire. Charlemagne sat, now of course he didn't live 800 years or 1,000 years, but his kingdom, what he started, what Charlemagne started, lasted for almost 1,000 years. Charlemagne worked with the popes, the two horns, the Catholic Church working with the European Empire. Okay, Reich number one. Now, the Prussian Empire under Otto von Bismarck was from 1871 to about 19. Does anybody remember what significance 1918, the end of World War I? What was Otto von Bismarck and his people trying to do? Trying to win the Empire of Europe for who? The Pope, the two horns, the European beast working with the popes. Okay? Now we have Reich number three under Hitler. And again, I believe, was it Leo was the Pope? Yeah, or no, Pius. Pope Pius the seventh was the Pope at that time. Now, you won't read this in a lot of history books, but what happened was the Catholic Church got a pass. They worked with Hitler. And Hitler didn't destroy their buildings and their churches and granted them immunities. This is again the two horns. The Catholic Church working with the European Empire, the European beast. Now, let's talk about the Fourth Reich. This is really what I want to get to. The Fourth Reich, the Fourth European Empire working with the woman riding the beast, which is the great whore, which is the Catholic Church, a center of sorcery and idolatry, working together to bring forth this Fourth Reich, this fourth beast system. Let's just do a reality check. Europe is rising. Germany is arming to the teeth. These are just facts, brethren. Do you know that they signed a treaty that they weren't supposed to arm the same as Japan? And they've broken those treaties and they're arming, but Germany is arming at breakneck speed. Lightning speed. And as a matter of fact, I did a little research, if I could find it. Germany, incidentally, Germany does not have nuclear weapons. And I want somebody to check, to do a fact check on me and make sure that I'm giving you facts. Germany does not have nuclear weapons, but NATO does. And NATO has bases in Germany with nuclear weapons. Guess who else has nuclear weapons? France. And France is almost carte blanche offering their nuclear weapons to Germany. Do we get this, brethren? This is the European beast rising, taking charge. A man of fierce countenance. He's working dark sentences. Everything he says is for a purpose to strengthen the European Empire. Incidentally, and in fact, check me on this. The auto industry in Germany is in the toilet, crashing, nose diving. Guess what some of the automakers are doing? They're building military equipment for who? For Germany, for the Fourth Reich. The Fourth Reich, brethren, is rising. This is the kingdom of the beast. And this kingdom, from the very beginning, Constantine was an antichrist, an antichrist type. The second, or the first empire under Charlemagne. Charlemagne worked with the Catholic Church hand in hand, the two horns. The same with Bismarck. Under in World War II, World War I, he worked with the popes. Hitler worked with the popes. The beast system that's rising now out of Europe is working with the woman riding the beast. All right, enough for our history lesson. I want you to go, well, first of all,
Jim,
let me.
just before you leave history, the formation of the EU, did you get into that?
Not really.
After World War, just one little thing. After World War II, and Europe was pretty well destroyed, they made what was originally called the Treaty of Rome. And the Treaty of Rome is what brought in the EU. Well, they quickly eliminated that name Rome, so the fingerprints of the Catholic Church would not be found on it. And they changed it to the EU. So, but it really started with the Treaty of Rome, the heavy fingerprints of the Catholic Church right there on it.
Thank
Just
you,
thought
Mark.
I'd throw that in there, Jim.
Yeah, so Mark is kind of fact-checking me as we go, and I appreciate that. Now go back to Revelation 17 again. I don't think we finished reading there. Verse 4. I think we left off with verse 3. So let's pick it up. Revelation 17 and verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purples and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of what? Abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. There is absolutely nothing holy about the Holy Roman Church. Nothing. It is full of abominations. And we need to clarify it and speak it out. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. It is not just the Catholic Church that is a harlot church. She is the mother of all harlot churches. And we're seeing that church manifesting in its true colors as a harlot, full of abominations. My God. Well, before we leave verse 5, Mystery Babylon speaks of the origins of the Catholic Church, which goes back to Nimrod. The Catholic Church really started with Nimrod. It was emperor worship. They worshiped Nimrod. They had human sacrifices. They had homosexuality. They had every kind of an abomination that you could think of. And the Catholic Church has been rising and coming to what it is today through centuries and centuries. But we're talking about the mother of harlots, the Catholic Church. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Yeah, this Pope is talking about, oh my goodness. He has no room to talk. The Catholic Church has blood on their hands. Let's just leave it at that. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs and Jesus, the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, "What didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her." Remember, the woman is riding on the beast. And the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath what? Seven heads and ten horns. We're talking about the European beast system. The beast, verse 8, that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and shall go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not. Okay. Well, let me go on. Verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And these are the seven kings, and five are fallen. One is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Just to clarify, he who was the Catholic Empire, the Roman Empire, can trace its roots all the way back to Nimrod and up to every empire. These spirits are working through and in every empire, the empires of Pharaoh, the empires of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, the image of the beast in Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold, Babylon, the Persian and the Medes and the Persians overthrew Babylon. Silver. Next came Greece, and Greece overthrew the Medes and the Persians. And next came the Roman Empire, again working with the beast. The Catholic Church working with the beast. Now go back to something we read here. I want us to pick this up in back to verse 8. And well, let me just read 8. The beast, and this is the beast system, the beast that thou sawest was. We're going back to the Reichs. It was back to Charlemagne. There has always been this beast. And then he says, he was and is not. Where is the Fourth Reich now? Where is it? It is not. It's dormant. Does anybody remember You must remember the Nuremberg trials. And when they brought some of these Nazi leaders, do you think they got them all? Absolutely not. Do you think they got all of the Nazis? The Nazi Party is still in Germany and rising. And that's where it's dormant. It is not. And then all of a sudden, okay, let me start again. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, he's dormant, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. This beast is coming out of Europe and specifically out of Germany. This will be the fourth Reich, the last Reich to rise up. So, wow. What are we going to do? We're in trouble. This fourth Reich is going to take over the whole world. So he thinks. Okay. So let me, I want to catch a scripture here. Okay, yes. We're working our way here. Go to Revelation 18, the next chapter. And I believe it's verse 21. Okay, go down to verse 20. We're in Revelation 18 and verse 20. Rejoice over her. Okay, I guess I have to pick up the thought here. Verse 18. And he cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like unto this great city?" And they cast dust on their heads and cried in weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate." Rejoice over her, verse 20, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets. For God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel, verse 21. A mighty angel took up a what? A stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea of nations, saying, "Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and be found no more." God has ordained, and we're going to turn there just for clarification. We're going to turn back to Daniel and look at this stone that is casting down, actually casting down this Fourth Reich, this empire of the beast. This when it says there the great city Babylon, we are talking about the Catholic Antichrist Church system working with the beast of Europe, working together, the two horns working together. And there's no hope for mankind. There are two rulers. There is the kingdom of God and his Christ ruling, and there is the kingdom of the beast working with the great whore of Babylon You're gonna serve one or the other master, but one is gonna overthrow the other. And they think that they are going to overthrow the sons of God, and they are not. So let's go back to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, and well, let's keep moving along. Okay. In verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Now, when did that kingdom get set up? On the day of Pentecost. The kingdom of God came with great power and authority that Jesus taught and laid the foundation, the apostolic prophetic foundation for the church. The kingdom of God was laid for 3.5 years by Jesus Christ, and then he went to his throne next to the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit to bring forth the kingdom in power and great authority. Now, just like the kingdom of the beast has been rising ever since, the kingdom of God has been rising slowly without notice. The world doesn't see the kingdom of God forming. So let's go on. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Let me finish the thought in verse 45. For as much as thou sawest that what a stone, just like that stone in Revelation, like a millstone, is cast at this European beast, working with the great whore of Babylon. This, for as much as thou sawest that stone cut out of the mountains without hands. This is not an organization. Man has nothing to do with this. This is totally the work of God, the work of Christ in you, the work of the Holy Ghost bringing forth the Christ in his body to fullness. So go back to the thought where we started. When the transgressors are come to the full, what is going to happen? Christ is going to bring forth his fullness in his body, which is going to be the little stone. Without, for 45 again, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain and the interpretation is sure. We're talking about this little stone, the body of Christ coming forth. So, what do we need to be looking for? We can read the news and keep track of what's going on in Washington, what's going on with the EU rising, what's going on with Russia and China and the war in Ukraine. But our eyes are focused on the kingdom of God coming forth in a people. So I want you to go. We're following this little stone. First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. And I will start with verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, through whom coming as unto a living stone. Who is the living stone? Jesus Christ. The same rock that he told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and what the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he says, verse 4 again, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also. He's saying, I am the stone that the builders rejected. I am the rock of the church. But you are lively stones. You are that little stone cut out of the mountain without hands that's going to destroy the kingdom of the beast and destroy Babylon the Great. Do we feel like that, brethren? We're the people. We don't feel like it sometimes when we're attacked in our body. Our minds are under attack. AI is doing a number on everybody, trying to bring the great deception. But in the midst of it, the fullness of Christ is coming forth in this little stone, lively stone people. Ye also, as lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Okay. I don't think we have to turn there. But in Luke chapter 6, where he talked about the wise man built his house upon the rock, the confession that Peter made in Matthew 16, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But the foolish man built his house upon the EU, Great Babylon, the sand. We're talking about only two kingdoms, brethren. It is either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the beast. Now, I don't know if we want to go there yet. Well, let's go there. Revelation, back to Revelation 21. Revelation 21 and we'll go down to verse 10. Well, we have to start in verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me and said, come up hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto what? A stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. This is that little stone cut out of the mountain. This is the lively stone that Peter talked about. This is the kingdom of God coming forth to destroy the beast system and that great city, Babylon, the great whore. We are the people, brethren. Now, I would like to, well, let me read one verse here, please, before we progress here. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. You know these verses. You'd be familiar with these verses. Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born.
Verse 6.
Oh, I'm sorry, verse 6. Yes, chapter 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, that's the kingdom. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the what? The increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it. See, he tells you there that the government is the kingdom of God. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it, to establish it without. With judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. The government of God is coming forth through the little stone. The kingdom of God is increasing, brethren. Remember now, in the latter days, when the transgressors are come to the full, they're coming to a fullness. Would God allow this kingdom of the beast to come to its fullness without manifesting the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in his body? Absolutely not. God is going to manifest his power in and through his body. And bring forth the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, I'm coming to an end here, brethren. I want to give you a word that God spoke to Joanne and I some years ago. Go to Revelation chapter 3. And I believe that this is a word of admonition. For all of us. This is Revelation chapter 3. Now, if we remember right, the seven churches, the seven letters to the seven churches, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, we are talking about the church of Sardis. One, two, three, four churches in chapter 2. This is the fifth church, number five. What is the fifth station in the tabernacle? The golden altar. This is where the present day church, this is a well, let's do a progress report. A progress report on the body of Christ. Where are we at? We're right here at the fifth station, getting ready to break through the veil. And what is preventing the body of Christ from coming to its fullness and breaking through that veil? The offering up of our soul. That's where we offer up our soul, all of our soulishness, our selfishness, all of it. It has to be on that golden altar. And then and only then can the Son of God break through the veil and come into the measure of the stature of the fullness. This is exciting to me. I'm excited about this, brethren. Because as you see the beast rising, we must know that the sons of God are rising. The little stone that's going to destroy his empire is rising. The fullness is coming forth. So let's get to it. Revelation 3. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis, the fifth church, the fifth station in the tabernacle, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, and that thou livest and art dead. Admonition. Okay, did I read verse 2? Okay. Verse 2. Be watchful. This is admonition number one. Be watchful and do what? Strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Admonition number one. Strengthen that which remains. Continue to strengthen your soul with that strong meat. Brethren, we're not milk drinkers. We want that strong meat that's going to strengthen us for the days to come. Was it Elijah that was fed by the ravens, and he went in the strength of that food for what? 40 days.
Yes.
If I got the story right, that's what's going to happen to the sons of God. We have to strengthen, we have to feed on this meat. Admonition number one, strengthen the things that remain. Excuse me. We're in Revelation 3, verse 2, verse 3. Revelation 3, 3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. How are we remembering? And brethren, forgive me if I become repetitious and say this all the time, and I'm going to continue to say it. Rehearse the word. Rehearse the message. What do you think we're doing every Sunday on this meeting? We're rehearsing the word. Why? Because we're causing ourselves and one another to remember. Remember what? Remember our foundation. Brethren, the apostolic word is under attack. We must remember where we came from, the foundation which was laid. Where we came from, remember it, rehearse the word, rehearse the message, ask questions, give exhortations. We want to hear from you, brethren. We want to hear your exhortations, what God is speaking to the church in this hour. Admonition number three. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief in the night, and thou shalt not know what hour I come upon thee. Repentance comes in every station of the tabernacle. It starts with the brazen altar, repentance. It continues with our sanctification. I repent that I'm not sanctified and I want to be sanctified. We come through the door. There's a sanctification of the Holy Ghost. The work of the Holy Ghost in the soul is the lampstand. We come to the table of showbread. There's a work of repentance that as we break bread together, we're repenting. I was at a meeting last night, and a brother came to me and he said, "Listen, I want you to know, forgive me of anything that's ever been between." I said, "We're good, brother. We're good." That's the table of showbread, brethren. Coming together, working one with another, repenting where we have failed, repenting to. He was repenting to me. I should repent to him. Repenting if we have offended any in the body. And then we come to the golden altar. Before we go through that veil, there must be that offering up of our soul. I repent where I have fallen short of your glory. I should be walking in heavenly places. And I'm walking in the lowly places. God, forgive me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Root out those things in me that are preventing me from going through the veil. That is my three admonitions that God gave to Joanna and I before we went out on the field to minister. Strengthen the things that remain. Remember where you came from. And repent that you may be found worthy. I'd like to end here with a prophecy. I want you to go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And go down to verse 31. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. If our focus is on the kingdom, coming into that fullness, everything else will be insignificant. Now, I'm going to prophesy to you, brethren. These are the words of Jesus Christ prophesying to his church. Fear not, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Brethren, this is a word of prophecy. This is a prophetic word from Jesus Christ to his church, to you and I today in this hour. Fear not. Don't be afraid of what's coming. The beast is coming. The Roman Catholic Church has blood on their hands, and there's more blood to be shed. Fear not, little flock, what is coming? Strengthen the things that remain. Remember where you've came from and repent. And he says, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. I have other things, but I believe we've covered the message. I believe that I've delivered my soul. Oh my God. One more. Never trust a preacher when he says he's done. One more in Jude, where we're getting a workout. Got a new Bible. It's getting broken in. Okay, we're in the book of Jude, just before Revelation. And, well, I don't know where to start here. But verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. What are we talking about? The judgment of Christ that's coming. He will judge the world in righteousness. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of the eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet, verse 9, we're in Jude chapter 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. This is where I wanted to get. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. We're talking about a judgment on the church as well as the world. Okay. Did I read verse 13? No.
No.
Okay. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Brethren, this is another prophecy to the church, to us for this day. Enoch, the prophet of God, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." When is the judgment coming? When are these wicked people going to be brought to judgment? God has it all under control. Enoch is prophesying to us, saying, "Be at peace." And we could go back to what Jesus said. "Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give to us, the sons of God, the kingdom." So, to summarize, yes, the kingdom of the beast is rising, the Fourth Reich, or European Empire, working with the Pope. And they're going to bring a great destruction on the world. World War III is at the door. But in the midst of it, sons of God are rising. The body of Christ is coming forth. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ is growing. It's increasing day by day in each one of us. When we remember the word and rehearse the word. Continue to strengthen one another and repent. God help us. May God bless you, brethren. We'll see. I'm going to sign off. Joanne and I are going to sign off. Mark will take the questions and have the discussion. But it's been good being with you, brethren. God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Amen.